Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I'm excited today because you're going to meet a pretty incredible entrepreneur. And I'm excited to my first opportunity to meet her as well. I always love it when I meet somebody that's at a very young age has established something hugely successful internationally that really impacts so many people in a positive way. So welcome, Heather Hudson. Happy to have you with me today.
Thank you, Sharon. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me and for calling me young. I'll be 40 in 1 month. So,
well, I bet a lot of people watching and listening will still think that's very young. It's getting younger every year for me. So as I get further and further away from it. But Heather is the co-founder of a company called Nine Round, and it's a fitness center, kickboxing, and we're going to have her tell us a little bit about the history. She and her husband are both black belts, and actually, Heather, my family, my husband's fifth degree, Taekwondo, so Shotokan karate. I'm not sure what the difference between those two are, but they are both black belts, and Shannon, her co-founder and husband, was a international, you know, top kickboxer himself. So I'm excited because to hear, as we're going to unfold this story, I teach Heather that businesses solve a problem or serve a need, and you guys identified that gap in the space. And in fact, I think you met your husband when you went to exercise at his studio. So give us a little bit of background about your story, because I want to then talk about where it's grown to today and the number of people you're impacting.
Sure. I did meet my husband when I walked into his third karate school. He was very successful at what he did before I met him. And I walked in with my daughter. I was getting divorced. I was getting out of a toxic relationship and becoming increasingly stronger mentally. And I had this, I call it my aha moment. I was just driving along and knew that I needed to take martial arts. Don't ask me why on earth this happened to me. Mm-hmm. It just hit me and I didn't ask for it. I felt like it picked me, you know? And I always tell the story that I grew up with an appreciation for fitness. My mom raised me on Jane Fonda VHS step aerobics. So I'm really grateful to her for instilling a appreciation for moving and being, you know, health and wellness in general. But when I did karate at my husband Shannon's school for the first time, I had this feeling of empowerment that I'd never felt before. I'd worked out, I'd done exercise, I was always active, but empowered was the word that I felt for the first time. And I'm a huge advocate for the way, especially for women, we didn't grow up roughhousing like guys, you know, they roughhouse and they wrestle. And we just didn't grow up, at least girls in my era didn't grow up doing that. And so you do this punching and kicking for the first time and you feel this inner strength you didn't know you had physically, but it directly correlates with your mental strength. And ever since then, my physical strength, well, my mental strength has gone up every time my physical strength has gone up. So I've noticed that a woman, men too, but I got a soft spot in my heart for women. So women can become increasingly more confident the more fit they get. And it's a wonderful thing. I love it. I'm super passionate about it. It's happened to me and it's only gotten better and better. And so that's how we met. And that's my, in a nutshell, my fitness story and kind of why I'm so passionate about kickboxing and as opposed to some other type of fitness.
Well, and part of what I read was you started off in the kickboxing arena and it was kind of a, you know, you were, it was really, you started with very little funding, right? The first studio when you started. Yes. Share a little bit about that part of the story. Cause you know, people look at where you are now and they have to go back and realize that you really had the persistence and the grit and the, you know, really dedication to succeed.
Absolutely. It was 2008, if that helps at all. So it was an incredible year for finances, right? So my husband did get his world champion kickboxing title. And as he was training for that, he noticed that he could bring the kickboxing knowledge he had out of the karate school and into something more accessible to like the everyday person. Because not many people take karate, but almost everybody wants to just be fit. Mm-hmm. So he came up with the 30-minute circuit idea for 9 round. I have to give him all the credit for that. This is his brainchild, and I'm the supportive, you know, other half that just was right there with him along the way. But in 2008, we had $2,500 on a credit card that we maxed out. We borrowed $7,000 from a friend who let us pay him back on a handshake deal. And I mean, that was how we opened the first prototype, the first gym. We did not have a sign, like no sign on the building. I made these Word document bookmark shaped flyers and I would hand them out on the sidewalk every single day. And my son was 1 year old. So I would go in the morning and I would train the gym all morning. And then Shannon would bring him to me around 1:30 or 2 and we'd switch the baby. I'd go home, my daughter would get out of school, I'd do homework and dinner, also call it the witching hour, put him to bed, and he would get home at 8:30 or 9. So we had this crazy schedule, and we did that for absolutely years before we started to be able to even think about hiring other people. So there was no such thing as a weekend. I remember people saying, did you have a good weekend? And I remember thinking, what is that? what's a weekend? I mean, I do the same thing on the weekends I do every day. So it was a grind. I like to say this though. There was no plan B. So I believe that plan Bs can often interfere with plan A. If you know you have something to fall back on, mm-hmm. you might just not try as hard. Not that anyone who's had trouble didn't try very hard, but I just know for sure we had no plan B. We had 3 months worth of money that we were incrementally using up, and we had to make the gym membership grow to meet that break even as the money dropped off, because my husband transitioned out of karate school and into 9 round full time. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it was like right, like magic, 3 months and we were off, you know, and it was just still really slow, but it was just enough to pay the bills. So it was like that for a long time. We definitely,
well, I love that. I think people should, you know, plan. If there's no plan B, you gotta, you know, so going all in, right? Going dedicated and understanding that you were going to make it. So many people in my first book with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, it was 3 feet from gold. And that story is so many people do give up right before because they just don't have the passion or the, you know, the perseverance to stick with what they're doing. So I applaud you now. So we've got into the break even. How long from that point to where you did your very first franchise?
So we opened in 2008, we franchised the next year. The plan was to franchise from the beginning. My husband, again, always been a very business minded, and he wanted to do something that was duplicatable and scalable so that people that deserve the opportunity to own their own business could do it. And he just has always had that entrepreneurial spirit. I've always had a job my whole life before we did this. So it made for a really good combination. He's never had an employer and he's always worked for himself. So it's an interesting dynamic. It's a great combination. But the plan was always to be able to pass it on to other people so they could own their own business and have systems and processes to make it work. So in 2009, we sold one. And then the next year, it was 2010, and we said, we're going to sell 10 in 2010. And we sold 9, but we were still happy. And it's gone up every year. Last year, we opened 200 stores. So we have 770 locations, and we're in 16 countries now after 10 and a half years of business.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
We've been busy.
Well, I read an article earlier before we got on the call that said a lot of your franchisees had actually been former students at one of the other facilities. I thought that was a what a testament that is, right?
It does happen organically like that. Our first franchisee was a member of our gym, the one with no sign. That eventually we got a sign, but when we first opened that one, our flagship store, he was a member. So many of our new owners are members. They go in and they say, I've never done anything like this before. And it really hits them as just the best thing since sliced bread and fitness. So they want to know immediately, you know, could I own one of these? And then they start down the process, but it does happen, which you're right. It is a nice testimony to the concept that it's good enough, not just to get people fit, but they also want to look into owning one and be able to have their own.
So one of the other things that I read that I want you to kind of, it said that it's the, you said it's a circuit setup. So I think you said nine stations. So, and it's a no hitting process. So do you have, sparring as well, or is the kickboxing studio set up in the circuits?
So it is no contact, no person-to-person contact, because most people want to avoid getting kicked in the head. So that's why they don't take karate.
Yeah.
So that's the definition of sparring, is person-to-person combat. You put the headgear on and you actually get kicked in the face. So we don't do that at Nine Round. It's all hitting bags. Or you may work the hand mitts. Maybe you've heard of focus pads and building things. We have the trainers hold those for the members for one round each time they come. But yes, it's nine stations and they're 3 minutes each with a 30-second active rest or active break between each one. Comes out to 30 minutes. And you've worked various different shaped bags, working different muscle groups in different parts of your body. Some are for power, some are for coordination. We have dumbbells and kettlebells on the lighter end, medium to light end, so that it's calisthenic work. We jump rope, you do an ab station every time. When you leave, you've done aerobic, anaerobic, which is like sprinting really fast and short, intense, and you've done resistance training all in 30 minutes. So you're pouring sweat and you think, how did I get this good of a workout in just 30 minutes? And it's because of the combo of the sciences of those three types of exercise and the intensity that we push you at. So we make sure your heart rate stays in the right zone. We have the heart rate monitor that you wear during, and you can see it on the screen. When you combine being able to come in with no class time, because it is a circuit, you just walk in and start whenever you want. There's a trainer there to lead you through it and guide you and watch your form, make sure your intensity's right, your heart rate's on point, every muscle's getting worked. That's what makes people tell their friends about it, and it's just why it's so effective.
So what if somebody's listening or watching this and they're absolutely, they know they're out of shape and they're a beginner. Is this something that they could look at, or do they need to have a little bit more exercise under their belt?
No, it's my least favorite thing is when people think that they have to go get in shape before they come to us. And I'm like, that is what we do. We get you in shape. Don't be afraid of that. The wonderful thing about it is this workout, you just go at your own pace. You can't do anything else. The trainer's going to make sure of it. And so will you. I mean, you'll punch a little slower when you're first starting. You won't punch as hard. You won't kick as hard. As your fitness increases, you'll do the same moves, but with more intensity. You'll be able to punch, kick harder, jump higher if you're doing squat jumps, and you'll be able to just have more intensity. It grows with you. So you can absolutely go from couch to nine round, and people do it all the time. We've had people come and lose 150 pounds. So if that's not telling you something, I don't know what is. After 10 and a half years, I still go and get my butt kicked every time. It's not for only a certain type of in shape person, and yet you never graduate from it either. So it's for everybody. 100%.
So if people want to know more about it and find you, where would they look for Nine Round?
Nineround.com. So it's the number nine round, no S. A lot of people think there's an S. .com, and then you can find a location. You can learn about it. You can see testimonies. You can learn about franchising, but if you want to be a member, you go there and pick the location nearest you with your zip code and see what's around you.
Now, the last few, I've had quite a few podcast interviews talking about staying in your lane, and I noticed there was a reference to that either on your website or an article that I read that you guys wanted to focus on what you were doing. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, you can get distracted really easily in business, especially when you're the creator of the business a lot of ideas can come at you and you can think, should we add that? Would that be good? Those are the tough leadership conversations, you know? So you have to stay in your lane and stay focused to be good at anything, or you're going to be mediocre at a bunch of different things. So years back, we made the decision not to get distracted and to decide to be the world-class best at a 30-minute kickboxing circuit. And really no one else out there is doing that. And so that is our lane, a 30-minute full-body kickboxing circuit, no class times with a trainer. That's our thing. And we do it really well. We do it better than anyone else. We're proud of that. And I'm not afraid to say that. So we've stayed in that lane and that's what we do. If it doesn't support that, we just don't add it in.
And I know that you've won awards. The company's won a lot of awards in the entrepreneurial spirit. But let's talk about, you know, there's no doubt you've been hugely successful in 10 years to build the kind of footprint that you have and the success and creating opportunities for other people to own their own businesses. There must have been a couple of times in there that were highly stressful for you. So share with us, other than, I will say, spending the first year or so when you talked about having to turn off, you know, switch kids midway and not having together time. That's obviously an ongoing stressful situation. But talk about, and within the business, a time or two that so other people realize it wasn't all roses the whole time.
I don't even know where to start. Every day is super stressful. It is not, it doesn't end. Every single day, I have got the well-being of this entire company on my shoulders, you know? Yeah, it was stressful in the beginning when the money was tight. It's stressful because there's so many people now whose lives depend on it, their livelihood, their children, their families. They depend on it, and we are just, it's got to be perfect for them. So all we ever do is think about how to make it better. I can't think of one particular crazy, ridiculous, stressful time other than just all the time. I'm just always stressed out to the max, but I've learned it is what it is, and you just have to breathe and just know that you've done this for 10 years and it's going to be okay.
And you'll get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we just want to make the right decisions. I think decision making for the next steps is can be highly stressful. If you're not used to understanding that what your decision is impacts the entire 9-round nation, it's like being the president, you know, it's like half of them might not agree with it. You've got to do what you know is right. Implementing new things won't always be easy, or taking away things that need to go. They've ran their course, not easy, and not everyone will like it, but it's what's best for the longevity. Things like that are really stressful. And you have to do them anyway. So we did ask for this. We decided to be in this, but it does not make it easy.
Well, franchising inherently is a fantastic model, and it's also a very frustrating model. Because sometimes, yeah, I imagine you would feel like you're babysitting sometimes. And when you said you have something new, half will like it and half will not. But it also ties into the things that I teach about establishing systems. Because the more tight your systems are, the more successful a franchise will be. And we talk about it as your intellectual property. So you create that model, and it takes a lot of the questions out of it when you've got it established in that system. So talk a little bit about the systems that you created around your franchise.
That kind of makes me answer your last question. As about 3 years ago was a pretty stressful time. So because of systems, so for the first 5 to 7 years, we were a little more lax on what you were allowed to do within your franchise. And we very quickly started to see the flaw in that, and that by definition, a franchise is exactly what you just said, and you can't lose sight of that. You can't make everybody happy. You have to have parameters, or you do not have a brand. So we looked 5 years in the future and said, we've got to tighten up our brand standards now, or in 5 years, we won't have a brand at all. So we did that, and you know, it doesn't go over well when you lay down new, tighter parameters when people are used to being able to have more freedoms. But like you just said, the longevity of a system, a franchise, is dependent on systems. Not everyone appreciates that. So that's pretty stressful.
I don't look at systems as sexy, but they really are. They really are what gives you the ability to go back to the first couple of statements you made about wanting to build something that was scalable. You know, you can't really be scalable if you don't have systems that are established and ingrained. So,
and to protect the investment of everyone who bought into it, mm-hmm. we have to make the longevity of the brand be there. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those leadership decisions that only the people that are watching the creation of the brand go forward can see. And so it's like teenagers. You think they're perfect, then you realize they've been up to no good. You lay down those rules and they hate your guts. They want to move out, right? They can't stand you. You're the worst. But you do it anyway because you know that you know better and what's best for them. I think a franchise company can feel that way. The rules can often come across like the worst thing ever, but we're not doing it because we enjoy making rules. We're doing it to protect their investment, and we have to have uniformity.
And that's part of it. When we talk about intellectual property, whether it be the business itself, the trademarks, you have to establish quality control, and that quality control is established through systems. And it is, there are going to be people who want to push against it, but obviously, you made that transition. It probably was difficult in the process because when you let someone do something, reining them back in is not always the easiest thing to do. So, but congratulations because you're still growing. And how many sites now? 700?
770.
Wow, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And how many countries?
16.
16 countries. And what's your plan for 2019 and 2020?
We have 3 countries coming up this year that we're looking at, and that's pretty much a goal. 2 to 5 a year is a great goal for us. So we try to open another 200 to 225 locations this year worldwide, and again next year. Our next big tangible goal that we see right on the horizon is 1,000 stores. And then after that, it's on to 5,000. So we feel really good about that number, and we'll just see where we are at that point. But that's the big stretch goal.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know you've been recognized as one of the top franchises. So that's not all. That's a wonderful recognition. So I applaud you.
Thank you.
So, people that are, you've heard a lot of messaging today. And, Heather, I want to hear, you've got the nickname The Hero. So where did The Hero come from?
Everybody who joins 9Round gets a fighter name as part of the fun of it. So there's Shannon the Cannon, that's my husband. Heather the Hero, for me, I believe that everybody is their own hero. So it's actually an internal thing. Mm-hmm. And we sign gloves for people, boxing gloves, as a gift for members who've done 500 workouts with us. So we'll sign it and send it to them. And I always write, either you are a hero or be your own hero. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's personal to me that nobody swooped in and saved me when I was going through my tough times. It was one of those things I figured out myself, and I was my own hero, in all honesty, because who else can really do that for you? You've got to pick yourself up and save yourself. If somebody else does it, you still have a problem. So I believe that everyone's got that inner strength. And I love seeing people find that. I think fitness helps you find that. But I believe in a hero as being not an external thing, but it's an internal part of you that you either know is there or you're going to find one day.
That's perfect. I often will say, be your own white knight. Don't wait for someone else to be your white knight. So it's along that
same. Similar to that, exactly.
And it builds your self-confidence because you realize that you did it. You can do it. And, it's a little taller and a little bigger smile. So thank you, Heather, so much for being with me today. You're going to hang out with me. We're going to put the recording on pause, and we're going to do a section that goes into our private Facebook group. So
for those
of you that are not part of it, please come back to and join our private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. And Heather, please go back and re-listen, because the lessons that Heather has shared are applicable to every business, not just franchise. Understanding how to build that value, be able to be, duplicatable and scalable and saleable eventually, So thank you, Heather. We appreciate it. And I wish you the greatest success. I can't wait to see you hit that 1,000 store mark. That's fabulous.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.